Welcome to the special meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board of June 30th, 2025. This meeting is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we will salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic
which stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, the board administrator will call the roll.
Mayor Kriebel.
Here.
Commissioner Landgraf.
Here.
Joe Iannuzzelli. He's on. Jay Cook.
Here.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Tim Coob. Tim Coob. Greg Gaskell.
Here. Sorry, Carmel.
That's okay. Wendy Bartlett.
Here.
Jessica Stilley.
Here.
Okay. At this time, we have the new business of the discussion of a housing element plan for the fair share. It's going to be presented by Tiffany Morrissey. Lance, do you want to give a preamble on this, where we got to?
Sure, Chairman.
And I would appreciate that greatly.
Sure. So COA is a long story. As I told the chairman before the meeting, I got out of COA planning about 25 years ago. Tiffany stayed with it. Thankful that she did, because she's one of the best in the state at it. This was a rush project for us. We understand that. We were hopeful that we were not going to have this many affordable housing requirements. It's a difficult task to produce those units on a barrier island. So we were hopeful that that number would get knocked down a little bit. It did not. So, well, I guess Tiffany did knock it down in her report. So that's good. But we did bring her on a couple of weeks ago to get this done. Today is the deadline for this. So we want to be protected under the COA. It's not called COA anymore, really, is it, Tiffany? It's just more.
It's the program or affordable housing. COA to us old schoolers. So,
yeah. We want to be protected against builder's remedy lawsuits, where a builder could come in and say, you're not providing your affordable housing. I'm coming in. I'm suing you. I'm going to build as many units as I want, and then just put 20% of that as affordable. So they could come in and build, you know, find a site, you know, they might buy a big, huge property, tear down whatever there, and then build a very large residential development with a very small 20% set aside for affordable housing. That's what you want to avoid. You want to have a plan that, in my opinion, and I think a lot of folks that we've talked to, I know Maria Mento, Commissioner Mento, is of the same, not have them in one section of the city. Let's spread these homes out, these affordable units throughout the city. And that's the plan that Tiffany's come up with. So just a precursor to it, I would like to go back and just make sure that we have our open public meeting announcement. If Carmela could do that, or Jake, you could do that.
What happened to the audio?
Jay, did you get that?
No, I didn't get it. What happened?
I didn't hear anything either.
The open public meeting announcement that you do at the beginning of every meeting. This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act.
Yeah, I did that already.
Yeah.
Okay, I must have missed it. I'm sorry.
Okay, I was the first. I did it right after the call to order in the meeting.
Okay, my bad. All right.
All right. That's a mandatory thing. All right. Lance, are you complete now with your statement?
Yes, sir.
I guess it's appropriate for bring the Tiffany on at this time. So, Tiffany, is there anything special that you need to go, or you can? The floor is yours to give the presentation of your excellent body of work.
I think you would want to swear me in, and then I'll just give a little bit of my professional background since you haven't heard from me before. So just so you know what I do, and
Very
then
good.
the presentation. Sound good?
Okay. Leo, could
Yeah.
you swear our professional witness in?
Sure. Tiffany, just give us your name and business address for the record, please.
Yes, Tiffany Morrissey, 7 Equestrian Drive in Galloway, New Jersey.
And please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this afternoon will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Tiffany, for the record, could you explain your licensing and your credentials so we can accept those, please?
Absolutely. So I am a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey, as well as a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners. Been licensed for over 20 years. I have a graduate of degree in the Master of City Planning from the University of Pennsylvania. I've been representing municipalities and development throughout New Jersey through various jurisdictions. Specifically, in terms of the housing, which we're dealing with today, I've prepared housing plans under the prior round, under the third round, and under this fourth round. And in this fourth round, I have done 12 housing plans so far this year, this being one of the 12.
How
I've
many
also been
plans?
qualified by the courts as an expert in affordable housing.
How many plans do you think you've done in your career?
In my career,
Yeah.
I know I did 12 in the past 2 months, so
Okay. All right. Well,
had to
let's
go
just
back and take
say,
a rest.
with the court and everything in the balances, that you're highly qualified and your credentials are accepted.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, so we're brought here today because the state of New Jersey adopted what is known as the fourth round of affordable housing regulations. And under the fourth round of affordable housing regulations, it's done much differently than it has been in the past. There are strict deadlines in order for a municipality to stay in protection, so that you're not subject to builder's remedy lawsuits, as Mr. Landgraf was talking about. And one of those deadlines is that this plan has to be adopted and uploaded to the state portal by the end of the day today. And for whatever it's worth, you're the first of 4 meetings I have today. You're not the only municipality doing this on June 30th. So it's a timeline and it's a tricky timeline. The city of Ventnor has not done a housing element and fair share plan in the past. So you had to address everything from 1987 through 20 or 2035, which is the end of the fourth round. That's not unusual. There's several municipalities in Atlantic County that still have not done housing plans. But under the fourth round regulations, they made it a little bit easier to enter the process and created a better benefit in terms of the protections. And so it's the smart thing to do at this point to enter into the process and address your affordable housing obligation, especially as land becomes less and less available. You have a higher risk of people coming in and trying to implement a builder's remedy to build what they want to build. So this protects you and lets you be in control of your planning and zoning. In terms of affordable,
Tiffany, can I interrupt you for one? So you're saying is that this action being done by the city is the appropriate action at the appropriate time to protect the city and all individuals within it.
in my professional opinion, yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So affordable housing has 5 components in essence. There is what's called the present need obligation. The present need obligation is what I call a rehabilitation obligation. That is the requirement to take substandard building units in your community and rehabilitate them if they are occupied. Improvements to their property, and therefore you've assisted in a rehabilitation need. Your rehabilitation obligation is reset every time a new round of affordable housing comes around. And this round, 2025 to 2035, the city has a rehab obligation of 24. I'll talk about what you're going to do for that later, but I just want to go through what your obligations are. Then there is the new construction obligation, and that consists of 3 components. And I think I said there were 5 components. There's 4 components total. There's the prior round requirement, which is an obligation that you accrued from 1987 through 1999. Your prior round obligation was calculated by the then agency, Council on Affordable Housing, and they determined that your obligation as this for the city was 27 credits. The third round was a much longer required period because it was litigated in the courts, and that ran from 1999 through 2025. In that round, the obligation was calculated based on a court settlement on how to calculate affordable housing obligations. It's called the Jacobson decision. It's referenced in my report. And that decision, a consultant did a calculation based on the formulas from that court decision, and Bentner would have an obligation of 19 units over that much longer time period. So you're getting smaller. You went 27 down to 19. And then the fourth round, which was adopted in 2024, it runs from 2025 through 2035. The way they calculate your affordable housing obligation is similar to what they did in the Jacobson decision, but now put into legislation on how to do so. And that obligation was 14, which is a very small obligation and a manageable obligation. And so what that means is that the city of Ventnor has a total obligation from 1987 through 2035 of 60 credits required. And I say credits, not units, because you get bonus credits for certain things that you do. So you don't necessarily have to create 60 units. You have to create 60 credits. And then you have your rehab obligation or your present need of 24. As part of the process in understanding what to do with your obligation, I'm going to start with the rehab because that's to me the simplest and most easy to explain. So in Atlantic County, you are fortunate to have the Atlantic County Improvement Authority. They use community development block grant money to help provide funding to low moderate income families to rehab their units. So in the past several years, the ACIA, Atlantic County Improvement Authority, has actually rehabbed some units in the city of Ventnor. And I have all of the units that have been rehabbed since back to, I think, 2004 or five. So they've done a considerable amount. So it's reasonable to presume and to include in your plan that for 2025 to 2035, ACIA will be able to address your 24 unit rehab obligation. And so we're not doing anything different than what's been done. You're just going to report them, and the ACIA will share with you when they do a rehab so that you can report them to the state that that unit has been addressed. And so that's the simple way to address your rehabilitation obligation. All municipalities in Atlantic County do use the ACIA program. It's accepted by the state agency that reviews your affordable housing plans, and it should be acceptable going forward. There are some municipalities that will fund their own rehab obligation if they have funds to do so, and that's something you can do down the line if you feel it's important, and you have the funds to do so, but it's not necessary. So then we get to providing the 60 credits that's required. There's a lot that goes into how we determine to address your 60 credits. And there's a lot that goes into your housing element and fair share plan and what's required in that plan. What I looked at is a vacant land adjustment. So when a municipality is pretty much developed or built out, you're able to look at what land is available that is vacant and would be able to be utilized to satisfy your affordable housing obligation. And so I looked at every vacant parcel in the town or in the city to identify those that were vacant and those that were not environmentally restricted, those that were not subject to parks or open space requirements through green acres restrictions or environmental conservation restrictions, and those that were large enough to accommodate the development of at least five residential housing units. Now, in order to determine if it can accommodate five residential housing units, the requirement is that you use an appropriate density. And in this case, we used an assumed density that you would be able to build 10 units per acre because you're more city than you are suburban. And that's an acceptable density under the New Jersey state plan that we can rely upon. In doing so, there were two sites that were identified as potential contributing to being able to satisfy your affordable housing obligation. Now, just because we identify two sites, that doesn't mean you have to zone those sites for affordable housing. It just means that you have to be able to accommodate the potential development that occur on those sites to create affordable units. So, what does that mean? The two sites that we found actually created a vacant, a realistic development attempt, potential of 2.3 affordable housing units, rounded up to 3 to be conservative. So of the 60 credits that are required, you only have to address 3 affirmatively in your housing element and fair share plan, because you only have 2 properties that are vacant and of sufficient size where you could reasonably address 3 affordable housing units. When you do your 10 units per acre, we would have a total of 12 units per se- I'm adding on the fly here, but about 12 units, and only 20% of those would be what you would have to provide for. So that comes out to 2.3. And that's the good news for the city of Ventnor in terms of your affordable housing planning, because you actually have credits already existing in the city that we're able to put towards your affordable housing obligation. So even though you only have to address a realistic development potential of 3 units, that leaves a 57 unit unmet need, or 57 credit unmet need. 57, that means what you have to do over the period of time is provide general opportunities to create affordable housing credits to get you up to your total 60. But you don't have to affirmatively change zoning on a specific site or implement a program and put funds towards it from your municipal budget, because it's unmet need, as long as you're able to address your realistic development potential. So a lot of words there, and interrupt me if you need me to, if you need to, but I'll keep going until you do. You have a development in town that has existed since 1982. It was occupied, I believe, in 1982. It is Shalom. I always say it wrong, and I really apologize. I'm horrible at pronouncing things, but it's Shalom Towers. It is a 150 unit apart, age restricted apartment complex. It is for low income seniors. I'm sure you're all familiar, but it's located on the corner of Swarthmore and Burke Avenues. It's in the southwest corner of the city, kind of over near where Margate has their own development on the other side of the border there. This project actually addresses the majority of your affordable housing obligation. In your prior round, we're able to take credit for 27, which is your prior round obligation, 27 credits from this project as prior cycle credits. That means they can we can use all of the age restricted units under the prior cycle credits to meet your full prior round obligation. So now we've addressed your RDP of 3, and we've exceeded it by 24. In your third round, we were also able to utilize a percentage of the units at this facility, as well as 2 group homes that are existing in the community. Now, in the third and the fourth round, because of the different regulations, you can only use so many age-restricted units to meet your obligation. There is a caveat that prior cycle credits can be are not restricted. They can be all age-restricted, but in the third and the fourth round, the third round, you can max out 25% of the total requirement can be age-restricted. In the fourth round, 30% of the total requirement can be age-restricted. So that's why the 150 doesn't just wash out all 60, because you're capped when you get to the third and the fourth round. So because of that, we're able to take up to 6 credits from that project in your third round of your total 19 unit requirement. And then there are 2 group homes in the community. One is located on Hampshire Drive and one on Wissahickon Avenue. They are 2 bedrooms each. They get bonus credits, so each of them get 4 credits total. So that gives us a total of 14 credits against your 19 in your third round plan. So we're short 5, but that goes to your unmet need, which is something we'll address after we do our cumulative approach. In the fourth round, you have a requirement of 14. And here we're going to use, again, the towers again, which will give you 4.5 credits. You don't get a full 1 unit bonus, because the bonuses in the fourth round are different than the bonuses in the prior round. Additionally, in the fourth round, they now allow you to take credit for what's called transitional housing. And it has been determined by planners that cooperative sober living houses and rehab facilities are considered transitional housing and will qualify for credits. That may be something that the state reviews and clarifies, and if they take that away, they take it away. But we're putting it in the plan because planners across New Jersey feel that it's appropriate. You're allowed to do up to 10% of your fourth round obligation in credits from transitional housing. So we're good. The transitional housing would allow you to take one credit because it's 10% of 14. And I didn't round up to be conservative since we were already pushing. But that gives us a total of 5.5 credits in the fourth round of the 14. Now, you have a lot of bedrooms from the transitional housing, and those bedrooms I've listed in the plan so that they're here in the event the rules change and you can take credit for more than 10%. At least they're listed and we can go back and adjust that. So to summarize, you have the three rounds, 1987 through 2035, total requirement of 60, and realistic development requirement of 3. We're able to provide credits for up to 46.5 of the total 60, leaving that remaining unmet need of 10.5. So we started out with 60, and now we have 10.5, which is a lot less and more manageable. And you can't just ignore it. You have to do something to address that 10.5. You do not have to specifically rezone a specific property. You don't have to create a specific program or enter into a specific partnership, as you would if it was not unmet need. But because it's unmet need, we can do what's called an overlay zoning. And so what I've suggested in this plan to ensure that it doesn't impact the future development throughout the city in a disproportionate manner is what's called an overlay zone for an affordable housing set aside. Similar to other communities I've prepared plans on for which have unmet need, it would require 10 or more units of multifamily housing. Now that may be on a site that's zoned to allow for that type of housing, someone who comes in and requests a use variance and the board is favorable on that type of application, or someone who comes in the future and has a site rezoned to allow 10 or more multifamily units. They would have to do a housing set aside, affordable housing set aside of 20%. This doesn't put you on any specific property. It doesn't marry any specific property to the requirement to meet this requirement, to meet this obligation. It provides an opportunity for the city to look at plans as they come in the future to see if they're going to build more than 10 multifamily units to make sure they incorporate at least a 20% affordable housing set aside. That 20% affordable housing set aside is the statewide standard for an affordable housing set aside, which is why we use the 20%. And it would be worked out through the development process going forward. There are no other requirements in terms of your affordable housing if you adopt that standard ordinance. There are a few other things that we did include in your plan, though. There are other programs that are available to create affordable housing. One such thing that you could do and is recommended in this plan is to adopt a development fee ordinance. Now, that sounds horrible. We're going to take money. The state of New Jersey requires that every non-residential development that is constructed in the state of New Jersey pay a 2.5% of assessed value fee to the state for affordable housing purposes. If your municipality has a development fee ordinance because they have a housing element and fair share plan, you can't have this if you don't have a housing element and fair share plan. If you adopt a development fee ordinance, you can keep that money in a local trust and use it for affordable housing purposes in the future. Now, in the past, any commercial development that's happened in the city would have paid that fee and it's gone directly to Trenton. So since you're creating this plan, it's recommended that you adopt the development fee ordinance so that you can then keep that fund. And we will provide opportunities, depending on how much is collected, to maybe create different mechanisms to address affordable housing, such as helping people with their rent or their mortgage or assisting in a buy-down program of units throughout the city so that we can reevaluate whether or not we need to maintain that overlay zone if you're able to create units through creative mechanisms using that affordable housing trust fund if you collect enough money. And so that's included in the plan, not as an affirmative requirement, but a possibility to be utilized if enough funds are collected. Those funds can also be used to offset cost in terms of consultant fees, administration of the units, marketing of future affordable units, and other mechanisms in accordance with the state regulations. So if you don't use those funds, you collect them and you decide that you don't need to use them, they just revert back to the state after a period of time, which they would have taken in the initial round anyway. So this gives you opportunity and options moving forward. There are ordinances that would need to be adopted as part of this process. Those ordinances do not have to be adopted until March of 2026, or until the state reviews and approves your entire plan. So there's no rush to do anything at this point. This plan will not impact any existing development applications or approved redevelopment plans. It would only impact things going forward after that March 2026 date. And I think that covers the gist of what's in here. There is a lot more in this plan in terms of a demographic analysis, history of affordable housing. I didn't go through all of that. You can read the demographics. I wanted to focus on what the mechanisms are in the plan. And I think that's, unless we have questions, or if I missed something that someone saw that they want me to discuss, please let me know.
That was a pretty good explanation of it. I've seen these before, guys, so don't hesitate to ask questions. Tiffany's also working with Brigantine to get their plan, their meetings this afternoon, I think, as well.
5 o'clock,
Tonight,
one of the
yeah.
last ones too.
Yep. So we're not
Brigantine
in this
does do
boat,
that
perhaps.
market to, yeah. Brigantine does that market to affordable program as well. And they've done that successfully. They've collected enough money to do that. So that's why I think it makes sense when you have this unmet need if you collect enough money to leave that option open.
Tiffany, could you identify or explain to us what actually is a I guess a low income unit that we are to meet? Because I understand what that is, what the price of it is, or the size, or how it's described.
So, I guess the best example is to look at what you have in town and look at the towers, the Shalom Towers. Those are affordable units. They are age restricted affordable, not for families, but they are, nice quality, and they provide an opportunity and a place for low income seniors. In terms of your price points and what that means, there are formulas that the state creates as to what is considered affordable housing and affordable income levels. And in we're in Region 6, and so that includes four different counties: Cape May, Cumberland, Atlantic, and Salem. And they set what the medium income is and then determine the low and moderate incomes. So we'll go a three-person household, mom, dad, and kid. A moderate income family would be making $70,000, $71,000 a year as a three-person household. That is the level of affordability. You go to a five-person household, mom, dad, three kids, or mom, dad, two kids, and grandma. It's around $85,000 is the moderate income level. And the low income is a little bit lower than that, but they're not bottom of the bottom. And additionally, if you are an affordable housing family, if you're qualifying for affordable housing, you have to have you have to qualify for a mortgage. You have to qualify for the security if it's rental. And so you have to show some stream of income and that you're working and that basically it is people just starting out of college, new school teachers that aren't making enough money, but they have a family and they're younger, or new police officers or firefighters, people that are just beginning and need to get a step up. It also is provide it helps with the senior population who are on Social Security but and don't make the money they were making but still need to have affordable housing. So that's the kind of level you're talking about in terms of housing, if
But
that answers the question.
you're saying we could actually use this to attract the new people to our fire departments and police departments and keep them with it and have them live within the city.
I mean, to a certain degree, you have to
Yeah.
affirmatively market the units, but you can tell
Right.
them that they're available, yes.
Okay. That's an interesting concept that I don't think we're aware of
Yeah.
in here. Thank you very
What's
much.
up? Hey. Just wanted to check in. I'm on a
And
Zoom call. I'll be out
actually,
front.
so there
Thanks. No
was.
problem. Did you get the blood work?
I did.
Awesome. Thanks.
Sorry. Okay. All of the units that you create do require deed restrictions. They have to be deed restricted for at least 30 years or more in terms in order to qualify. So they're not they remain. That's what that trust fund money helps you monitor. If someone sells the
Still
unit, you have to
mitigating
qualify the new
for
family.
affordable housing in Denver,
So
wherever that might
okay.
be.
Oh, cool.
Problem there, guys.
You
All right. So now we have till 2035 or 10 years to qualify under this plan.
Yeah, 10 years to address this. And because it's unmet need, if nothing happens, it's okay. As long as you kept that zoning in place and were didn't turn things away, per se.
I just stopped in, say hello. That's
Now,
all right. I'm in this
what is
meeting
the
at City Hall.
easiest way
Hey, Dan, you
to
got to
approach?
mute
Make
yourself.
some books
You're
with you.
speaking over the meeting.
There you go.
There we go.
What is the easiest way for the city to comply?
That's the overlay zone that we are suggesting here. That would be
Okay.
if anyone builds 10 or more multifamily units, that they provide a 20% set aside. And again, it may not be based on current zoning. It could be any new development that comes in that you're changing the zoning, they're asking for variances or something of that nature.
Okay. Now, is in your study, I have to go over. Is do you have a like a or can you do a breakdown like a bullet sheet for us that itemizes these like so a guide we can try and follow or look at or pass out to a
So
word or discuss?
you
Jay,
should
we're
have
adopting this today.
right.
So I don't know what you're asking for in that regard. What'll happen is we will have either one of our current staff or a consultant will be our housing liaison that will
Okay.
keep track of all these things for us.
Very good, Lance. Thank you.
Yep.
I think that says it all, Lance.
I'm going to answer a question that I see just so that I can preempt it. When we did the vacant land analysis, we looked at every lot that was vacant, and I said there were two lots that were identified. Those two lots are not required to be rezoned for affordable housing. The one lot is on Cornwall and the boardwalk. It's a vacant parcel. It could be that it's going to be reconstructed, but at the current time of doing the plan, it was considered vacant. The second lot is actually the city parking lot on Newport Avenue. There is potentially an argument that your parking lot shouldn't be counted, but it was underutilized and we were able to address the 2.3 requirement. So I didn't want to create an argument where the state was saying, well, why didn't you include this? I included it just to be conservative because we were able to address it.
Okay. Is there comment or questions of any other members that are here listening and attending the meeting?
We should open it up to the public.
Well, I am going to do that now. That's why I wanted to get first in.
Yeah,
Jim, I'm going
I
to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to make comment or ask questions on this particular topic?
anybody in the public who wishes to make or speak on any of these on this issue, please make yourself known within the chat or by raising your hand and you will be recognized.
And there is a couple people who are asked some questions in the chat. I know Tiffany answered one as to what were the two identified lots. But it looks like Nanette Galloway is asking, do the units need to be deed restricted? And then
Yes, they
whoever
do.
was, I'm sorry.
Yes, they do.
Okay. And then does the new professional building need to be 20% low income?
No, it's subject to an existing redevelopment plan, so it is not subject to that requirement.
From someone named Rasuto.
Leo, we've had in past practice, we've had the folks not type in questions.
Yeah, I that's what I'm kind of they're obviously on. I think they could we
They
could
should
go
unmute
one
and
at a
bring their
time.
video on, yeah.
Jim, is that are we able to bring these people from the public who want to ask questions on?
Mr. Morgano, please unmute yourself.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead,
Oh, it seems I
Mr.
can't start the
Morgano.
video, but Tony Morgano, 402 North Surrey Avenue. I guess I'll just ask a couple of the questions that are in the chat. One I had was if you could identify the overdrive.
Whoever's talking in the background, it's this a public meeting, so one at a time.
If you could identify the prospective overlay area, Tiffany, I'd be interested in that. And then
So
some.
oh, I'm sorry. I'll wait till you
That's fine.
answer. I'll ask all your
No, go ahead.
questions.
No, you go ahead.
So the overlay area is citywide. So any property that builds 10 or more multifamily units, whether it's by existing zoning, through proposed variance, proposed zoning change, or proposed future redevelopment down the line, would have to do a 20% set aside. So it's citywide for anyone that builds something of that, proposes something of that scale. After, from this point forward, well, March of 2026 forward.
Okay. And there was another question in the chat about the professional building redevelopment as whether that need to be 20% low income. But I think somebody answered that and indicated that that's a because it's subject to an existing development plan.
Correct. It is not subject to a requirement for 20% low income. I will say, I know that plan does include some conversion of the school to commercial. So, to the degree that that conversion requires a development impact fee that the state would collect anyway, the city would get that development impact fee.
Thank you, Tony.
Okay,
And
Mr.
Jim, there's
Morgano.
someone saying they can't unmute themselves. Is
Yep,
that our issue or?
I just asked him to unmute.
Hi, this is Jolia Rosato. I'm actually Anthony Morgano's wife, so he handled my questions.
Oh,
But due to
perfect.
the fact that you had the meeting during a workday, I cannot come off a video as I work in a lab space that cannot be videographed.
That's okay. Do you have a question?
No, they already answered. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other members of the public wish to make comment or question? Okay, I'm not seeing any more, Leo.
Jim, you have confirmed that there's no more questions for the public?
Yes, I'm not seeing any more.
Okay, so that's a confirmation. So the public portion is now closed for this particular hearing. At this point, do any of those attending have any questions of counsel or of Tiffany before we go ahead? Because we next move into a resolution for adoption.
Jay, it's Tim Coop. I just had one very, very minor thing. It's I think a typographical error on page 14.
There's
We just,
only one.
if there's only one, I'm impressed. It just talks about the total housing units from 1900 through
Okay.
2020, and I think that's supposed to be 1990 in two places. But
It
since
is, and I fixed the table already, so I didn't see it in the text. So thank you.
Where did he go, Tim?
well, I read it, so I made
Okay.
I appreciate
Well, you get a gold star for reading it, Tim. So, okay.
Also, just comment that the plan is on our website.
Yeah, I
I know
saw
it's
that
on
in the chat.
file with the city, Nanette. But
I can
Mayor,
post
it is
it if you'd
on.
like.
I'm sorry, Carmela.
I can post it.
Yep.
I believe if it already is.
Okay.
Right. Now, actually, this was started, Lance, back in February, I think, of this year when it became available. Am I correct in that?
We had to take some other action with the state back in January, February, but this plan started literally 2 weeks ago with bringing Tiffany on board to get.
I know, but the qualifications and so on to get to this point actually yep. started earlier.
Yep.
So I just want to make that note it just wasn't something you just all of a sudden boom that you worked on it, and it's an excellent piece of work. So at this point, if we have nothing further to do, Leo, as you do all motions and so on and resolutions, have them. Could you please frame one in the affirmative for adoption of this particular study, please?
Yeah, everyone, I sent resolution number 17, and basically what the municipal land use law says is to make Tiffany's plan a component of our master plan, our planning board has to do so by resolution, and that's the resolution that you have in front of you. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's relatively short, which basically just says the planning board hereby adopts Tiffany's plan as part of as a component to or in a slash amendment to our master plan. So what we would need, and I guess I'll ask Juliet real quick. Typically, Juliet, when we do a resolution, we just do a motion, a second, and then an all in favor. To your knowledge, do we need to do anything more than that in terms of like a roll call vote versus an all in favor?
Well, I don't know if you have to, but I would just recommend that you do a roll call.
Okay, vote. Perfect.
Just right. Remind everybody, you know, because today is a critical deadline that assuming you pass the resolution, would you please have Mr. Cook sign it and Ms. Malfara sign it, date it and email it over to me immediately. We're going to be filing it with the Affordable Housing Program later this afternoon.
Yeah, and assuming it's adopted, I was going to, that's the question I was going to ask the chairman. Jay, what's your ability to get that to Carmela?
It will be taken care of as soon as possible.
I appreciate it.
Have it. Within minutes, it'll be taken care of.
I appreciate it. So, and that said, we need
to... Juliet, usually we state reasons on a vote. Do you want reasons stated here?
I don't think it's necessary unless someone wants to compliment Tiffany on the amazing work she did on such an incredible deadline, because that would be my comment if I were on the board.
Well, it's been my comment all along, so
thanks,
I'm going to do that. But anyway, okay, you've I'm going to make one thing. When you're reading into the record, Leo, you didn't include Tiffany's last name, which is Morrissey. So if you could add that to the Tiffany's last name to that, and that she's a licensed planner, then that would be the resolution I would ask for.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, in the resolution, noted.
Just Tiffany those two items in that. And that, I think, Juliet, you think that would be you would agree with that?
Yeah, well, you know, because this is such a technical and regulated process, Mr. Manos was able to prepare a written resolution in advance of the meeting, and it is right. The resolution you referred to, 17-2025. And I would just urge everybody to look at that, because that is what you're technically voting on. And correct. It does include Tiffany's last name, of course.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate that the resolution be read into the record of this meeting, rather because everybody doesn't see it in writing here, unless it's put up on the screen, that everybody sure. can see it. But that would be the case. I would just say that, Leo, just read the resolution into the record.
And then okay. And I circulated this City of Ventnor Planning Board Resolution Number 17-2025, resolution adopting fourth round housing element and fair share plan of the City of Ventnor Master Plan pursuant to NJSA 40:55D-28A and NJSA 40:55D-28B3, whereas the New Jersey Municipal Land Use Law, and in particular Section 28A, provides that the Planning Board of a municipality may prepare and, after public hearing, adopt or amend a master plan or component parts thereof to guide the use of lands within the municipality in a manner which protects public health and safety and promotes the general welfare. And whereas Section 28B and 28B3 of the Municipal Land Use Law. One of those components of the master plan is a housing plan pursuant to NJSA 52:27D-310, including but not limited to residential standards and proposals for construction and improvements of housing. And whereas the City of Ventnor, Atlantic County, New Jersey, on January 24th, 2025, filed a complaint for declaratory relief, docketed as ATL-L-160-25, and whereas by order entered March 27th, 2025, the city's municipal obligations for the fourth round present and prospective need were fixed, and whereas the city is seeking compliance certification from the Affordable Housing Dispute Resolution Program for its fourth round fair share obligation, and whereas NJSA 52:27D-304.1.1.2A requires a municipality seeking compliance certification to file with the program a housing element and fair share plan, which has been adopted by the Municipal Planning Board and endorsed by the governing body no later than June 30th, 2025, and whereas the city authorized and directed a written housing element and fair share plan to be drafted and circulated to the City of Ventnor Planning Board for consideration and adoption, and whereas the written housing element and fair share plan is entitled Housing Element of Master Plan Fair Share Plan and prepared by Tiffany A. Morrissey, AICP, of Tiffany A. Cuviello, comma, PP, comma, LLC, with a draft date of June 20th, 2025. And whereas the Planning Board conducted a public hearing on the housing element and fair share plan at a special meeting held on June 30th, 2025. Whereas in the opinion of the Planning Board, the adoption of the housing element and fair share plan as part of and as amendment to the City of Ventnor Master Plan is as follows. Section one, the aforementioned recitals, everything I just said, are incorporated as though fully set forth at length. Section two, the Planning Board hereby adopts the housing element and fair share plan attached here to as Exhibit A as part of and as amendment to the City of Ventnor Master Plan. Section three, if any part of this resolution shall be deemed invalid, such parts shall be severed and the invalidity thereby shall not affect the remaining parts of this resolution. Section four, the Planning Board Secretary is hereby directed to transmit a copy of this resolution to the Mayor and the City Commissioners. And Section 5, this resolution shall take effect immediately. And there's a signature line for the Chairman, Jay Cook, and Carmela Malfera as our Planning Board Secretary. And then there's a line for the date.
And I will be empowered to sign that today with no waiting period.
So we'll need a motion to adopt resolution number 17, a second, and then Carmela can take a roll call vote.
May I have a motion, please, and a second?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. Will Carmela please have a roll call vote?
Members, Carmela, nine if members. We have nine.
Thank you.
Up to nine.
I have 10 members.
Okay. So nine. Stop after nine.
Okay. Mayor Kriebel?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I vote in support of the resolution. I vote yes and I want to thank the attorney and Tiffany and Commissioner Landgraf. Without their support and analytical abilities on this, this is a very technical, very highly regulated, very complex set of formulas. And I believe that Commissioner Landgraf is an asset as part of this administration taking this seriously. And protecting the city from the builder's remedy lawsuits and the overlay district being the entire city gives us the flexibility that I think we'll need in the future. So I applaud both of your hard work on this and vote yes.
Commissioner Landgraf.
I also support the resolution, and I'll reiterate, you know, Tiffany did yeoman's work on getting this done. Archer Griner with Bob Buckham and Juliet Hirsch and their team also assisted, you know, our staff. Carmela, you guys jumped through hoops. We're going to do the same thing again in 7 minutes with our city commission and Lisa Hand and that group getting this stuff done quickly. It's a process, and, you know, Ventnor has never done this before, never addressed affordable housing. You know, we've been taking some hits online lately for, you know, rushing this through. there's a lot of municipalities that are rushing this through today because it's a difficult process to go through. And I certainly appreciate the mayor's comments, but this is Tiffany getting us to the finish line here. So I vote yes and support the resolution.
Joe Iannuzzelli.
I don't know if you can hear me, but I also vote yes.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote yes. And I'm going to applaud, first of all, City Commission for grabbing the bull by the horns, just grabbing it by the horns and dealing with this issue. It's never been dealt before by anyone in the city, and you guys did it. And it's been done with A1 credentialed professionals that have done one impeccable job. Tiffany, I got to tell you, A1. Now, it's the best I've seen, and I've read some of these plans from other cities, and you've nailed it, and you've been here. And Juliet, thank you for your guidance on everything going here in that. But Ventnor's truly being led well, and this is a good thing. It's a useful tool for the planning board in the future, and it protects the city. So without any further comment, it's a landmark thing that's been done. So everyone deserves kudos all the way around and congratulations. And Carmela, thanks for putting the time in. You make it happen.
Thank you. Lorraine Salata.
Yes, resoundingly.
I approve the resolution and a big thank you to all those involved who expedited it to get it done in such an orderly and efficient manner. So yes, I approve.
Dan Smith.
I'm also going to vote in favor. I can't believe the amount of work that has taken place in such a short period of time. You know, this is uncharted areas for us, and I think we're being guided extremely well through this process, and I feel comfortable with everybody involved and their hard work. I applaud, and I'm in favor.
Tim Coop.
I also vote in favor. I appreciate the work that was done to make a very complicated subject understandable. I think it offers protection to the city and it adds a good dimension to our master plan. So thank you.
Greer Gaskell.
I also vote yes. And I just want to thank everybody that's involved here.
Wendy Bartlett.
I also vote in the affirmative on the resolution, and thanks to great job by everybody.
We're complete, Jay.
Okay, Jessica, I know you're not voting, but do you have a comment on this at all, Jessica?
No, really my only comment was that I thought Tiffany did a really nice job presenting this. I actually sat in another one earlier this month for a different municipality, and it was not nearly as clear and concise, so I'm going to commend her on that. So that's all I have to offer. Okay.
Thank you for your comments. And a special thanks to Jim Pakinowski, who's kind of makes this all possible and oversees everything, all the technology, and gets everybody working right. So if this is complete, there's nothing further. Is there any further business for this meeting? May I ask that question?
No, just Carmela, once you have that signed, if you can get it over to Juliet.
Yes, I will.
Okay, I'll take care of the signing. It'll be done within minutes, I guarantee you. And that'll be the case. And at that point, may I have a motion for adjournment?
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. We're now adjourned. Thank you for your time, and thank you for a landmark decision. We appreciate your help.
Enjoy the day.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Tiffany.
Bye. Welcome.